Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to be a jerk or anything.
But?
Yepper, this is Wretched Radio. It is a spiritual gift.
Yeah.
Chances are very good you did not spend your Thursday morning at One Passion Ministries listening to an hour-long Bible study from Steve Lawson. Wow, did you blow it? Like I said, I don't want to be a jerk about this, but if you weren't one of the hundreds of people who tuned in, you just really are missing the boat. It is an outstanding way to begin your day. Quite honestly, if he did this every morning, I'd be tuned in. Maybe somebody send him that email, because I don't think Steve is very busy these days, and maybe he's looking for something to do. Let me give you just a taste of what you're missing and an encouragement to start tuning in on Thursday mornings. I'm telling you, he was gone to Malaysia, the Philippines, traveling all over the place, teaching people how to preach. It is such a great ministry that he has. He travels all over the globe. Pastors come and he tries to get them on the path of preaching powerfully with alliteration. Steve Lawson was somewhere in Timbuktu and he had to suspend the Bible study on Thursday mornings for about a month. I missed it. I missed it a lot. So here was just a snippet of this morning's Bible study on Romans 8:17. Magnificent verse. Remember, Romans, I did this last night. I went through the book of chapter 8 of Romans because I'm fixing, that's how we say it in the South, I'm fixing on preaching a sermon on Romans 8:38 through 39. And so I was just reading through get the context of it. And Romans chapter 8 is the shun chapter, not S-H-U-N chapter, but T-I-O-N, shun chapter. Every shun doctrine is there. You've got the doctrine of damnation. You've got the doctrine of justification. You've got the doctrine of adoption. You've got the doctrine of glorification. I think there were 11 or 12 that I came up with. This chapter in Romans is like the pièce de résistance.
Pièce de résistance.
I didn't want to show off with my knowledge of French.
Oh, no one was worried about that.
I think we're okay.
Thank
there.
Thank you for having my back on this, friends. No, this is how it... You know how you can use prayer as kind of a sermon or a weapon? I'm just going to be praying for you. Or you can do it in the sermon. Lord, please help Joey and Tony to be nicer. You know, jing, jing, bang, with the thing and the deal. You can also do that with the word brother. Oh, brother. Not like as in, you know, old brother. Or like the cough drops, but brother.
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint. Brother.
When you actually, the tone that I see on that, and I've seen a lot of this lately, when somebody's trying to persuade you and tell you in no uncertain terms, you're really wrong, but I'm not quite calling you a heretic yet, brother. Shouldn't we agree on my position? It can be used as a bit of a snark.
Romans.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Well, there's that too.
Randy says,
Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs. And he unpacked every verse of the Bible is so loaded with goodies. And Steve Lawson, I'm telling you, his gift to unpack every verse. I spoke to him on the telephone yesterday. Yeah, he dialed the wrong number. So we chatted for a little bit, and I said, hey, Steve, I'm working on Romans 8:38 and 39. So tell me, with alliteration, how would you outline those verses? Now, please note, I do not believe that he had a Bible in front of him. Steve Lawson goes, Well, these are magnificent verses, which is exactly what I'm going to be sharing. This is perhaps the crown jewel in a treasure chest known as the Book of Romans. He said these are glorious verses that just soar. And he said, well, I think I would start out with, and I was really glad to hear this because it was my starting point, the conviction of Paul that I really believe these things. Second, the absolute clarity of making it crystal clear. There's lots of alliteration there. You ain't going nowhere. You are not going to be separated from, not just from God, being able to sort of like live in his kingdom, his love. Nothing can separate you from his love. And I'm telling you, he's doing this for memory. And he goes, just look at what Paul does here. He uses titles for Jesus. He uses the name of Jesus, but then he says, Christ Jesus our Lord. And he goes, he does that also in Romans 1:4 and Romans 1:7, because he's really trying to grab your attention to go, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's who we're in, and that's why you're secure. Please note, he said, it also says, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a personal term that we have this relationship with God, that he loves us and he is our Lord. He is our Christ. He is our Savior. That was from off the top of his head. So he's now this morning in Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He made the distinction that you're an heir of God. God is the benefactor, you're the beneficiary, but you are a joint heir with Jesus. So there's a distinction that needs to be made. You aren't the one who gets the benefit. Jesus does, and he shares it with you. Makes you love Jesus more. His next point, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And he started talking about the suffering that you will have as a Christian. And if you're not suffering, you're not in Christ, because you're gonna, which puts an end to this nonsense of what? Think this through. If we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffering with him. It's a promise. All who live godly will be persecuted. Paul regularly talked about his co-sufferings with Christ on this earth. It's a part of the package. This is what you get. You become an heir. You're the beneficiary. But you're in this life, you're going to suffer. What would that put an end to? This verse alone. You maybe aren't thinking the prosperity gospel, but it absolutely drives a stake through the heart of that. What's the prosperity gospel? God wants your life to be rosy, rich, lavish, and you get to run around with Robin Leach, if that's your thing. That's what the prosperity gospel is about. This verse alone, and there's at least 10 in the New Testament that back it up to say, you're going to suffer. That's the way it is. Oh, sure. There are kind things that God does, and he allows us to suffer in peace because we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, but you will suffer. And this isn't suffering because of a bad decision. This is a suffering because you're in Christ. You get fired at work because you just know it's because you've been a Christian and they just don't like it. You lose friends. Haven't you lost friends yet? Now, it's going to manifest itself in different ways and different zip codes. You could be getting your feet beat right now. That's suffering. But there's also a shunning. There can be a persecution. There can be a getting locked up. There can be a not getting hired. You will bake the cake. Whatever it is, you're going to suffer. Goodbye, prosperity gospel. All done. You're out of here. And he was jumping all over the New Testament to demonstrate this is the Christian life. It's not a rose garden. He never promised us a rose garden. With every rain of sunshine, I beg your pardon. That was Loretta Lynn. Okay, I haven't heard this song in 40 years. I've never promised you a rose garden. along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Still Lynn Anderson.
Right there. Was it? What did I say? Loretta yeah. Lynn?
Loretta had a lot of great songs, but that wasn't one of them.
The fact that I remember it, however, horrifies me.
Should a little.
There will be a little sunshine, but count on rain. But then here, look at the promise. Paul doesn't leave you in a ditch. That we may also be glorified together. There's glory coming where you get to inherit everything that Christ has inherited as a joint heir of everlasting life. And Steve went about the business of demonstrating, while there will be degrees of hot in hell, there will also be degrees of glory in heaven. And the more you suffer for Christ, the more glory you will enjoy. Not that you get glorified, but you'll get to be seeing the face of God like the martyrs who are closer to the altar in Revelation chapter 6. You will get to experience God. The more suffering, the more you're going to be enjoying God forever. All that to say, if you didn't listen this morning, you blew it! Not to be a jerk or anything. One Passion Ministries, it will make your Thursday. They leave it up there so you can listen to it any old time, but it just seems more special when it's live. One Passion Ministries, this is Wretched Radio. Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate when you spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks for sharing your questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks. We also appreciate when you share your wretched story with us, like this one from Andrew. I've listened to Todd and the gang now for more than 10 years.
Wow.
And it's fair to say that no one's impacted me more in my Christian walk. Not only have I learned heaps from Todd, but through the ministry, I've learned of the other preachers who have impacted me deeply. Like Andrew, would you share your wretched story with us? Or if you have a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, we'd love to hear it. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org works great. Or do the voicemail thing at Beep Talk. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. By the way, if you'd like to partner with us to make more wretched stories possible, visit wretched.org/donate and become a Wretched Gospel Partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come on, church!
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden.
Loretta Lynn.
Along with the sunshine.
Now see,
there's
I got
gotta be
again.
A little rain.
I never get
sometimes.
Country music wrong.
Shh, I want to hear this.
When
it's
you
actually
take
a rose
you
named
gotta
after her.
Give, so live and let live or let go. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Not many lyrics for me to forget.
I never promised you a rose
well,
garden.
You don't need many.
I could promise
well, if
you
I were writing a worship
like
song. This is Wretched Radio. See, Tony, during the break, you have been proven wrong again. You said this is Lynn Anderson. I rightly stated this is Loretta Lynn. So I just Googled around and I found a website that said it was actually done by Loretta Lynn. Because on the internet, you can find anything
find
you
anything.
Want
yes.
to support your
it
erroneous
was Lynn
view.
Anderson,
so,
who was wonderful on WKRP, and I'm so sad it didn't work out with her. And
that, was Lonnie
that was Lonnie Anderson.
Anderson. Oh. She was from Minnesota, don't you know,
it
the
hurts
Lonnie
me
Anderson.
That I remember. I just watched that last night.
Yeah, she had a great stand-up career, too. That was
no.
a different Anderson. From
that's Louis Anderson.
Louis. Yeah, and they don't look at all alike. I don't even think they're related.
Yeah, someday if you and I ever get to have dinner together, I'll share you a... with you a story about Louis Anderson.
A Louis story?
Yeah. Yeah. Worked with him a few times. Yeah. Funny guy. Can tell you that much. He's just a genuinely funny guy all the time. But we'll save that. We'll
another
save
day.
That conversation for our little Tish Raiden. This is, did I mention this is Wretched Radio?
Yep.
Did I mention that God never promised you a rose garden? He promised you suffering instead. Because you are suffering for Christ with Christ, and that will increase your glory and joy in heaven. That will help you, won't it? Now remember, suffering, let's just say it was a storm. And that's suffering, but that's not the kind of suffering that Paul had in view in Romans chapter 8 and elsewhere throughout the New Testament when he says, oh, we're going to be suffering. That is a promise of Jesus Christ for those who are in him, going to suffer. Now, that doesn't mean you get the flu. It means that because you're a Christian, you're being treated poorly. Can be varying degrees, whatever it is, but it has to be for the sake of Christ. Otherwise, you can still call it suffering, but that's not going to increase your glory. Unless, of course, you grow from it and learn how to respond to it. This is hard to get our noggins around, and we don't want to get carried away with this because we don't want to speculate where there is no speculation. I do believe it was Martin Luther, this is a paraphrase, who said, in response to somebody who said, what was God doing or thinking about before he created everything? And Luther's response, Tony, you're a Lutheran, so you should have this memorized. Do you remember this quote from the rather terse Martin Luther?
No.
Terse. He said... God was thinking about creating a place called hell for people who ask stupid questions. That's a paraphrase.
Like
so we don't want to go too far in our speculation, but nevertheless, thinking about the glories of heaven is something we should do, and it will relieve anxiety. How do I know? John 14:1. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What's verse 2? I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In the context, and it's not just John 14:1, it's sprinkled all throughout John 14:15 and 16, that you might have peace, that you might have joy, that you won't be troubled, that you won't be anxious. He tells us one of the ways to not be anxious is to think about eternity. Now ponder this. The suffering that you're going through is going to increase your joy in heaven. Because you are going to be able to see the face of God, which shines brighter than the sun. Now, I know this is another area of speculation because the Father is a spirit. Only Jesus has a body. Nevertheless, we're offered a promise that we will see the face of God. And I think that means we're going to actually be in a very close personal relationship with God himself. The one who knows us, we will know so much better. And the more suffering you go through, the more you're going to enjoy that relationship. There are degrees of brightness of stars in the heavens, and so too in heaven. There are going to be people, and it would appear the martyrs, for instance, those who have really dedicated and strived and sacrificed for the gospel of Jesus Christ, have given up home. And I think of pastors. Don't forget, your pastor, if you've never moved outside of your region, I don't think you can fully appreciate the sacrifice that your pastor likely made for you. We have he's not new anymore, but we have a new associate pastor at our church. He's from Los Angeles, and now he's living in Georgia. You think there's a little sacrifice that was made there? I think so. Now, thankfully, we were able to pretty much duplicate the horrific traffic here in Atlanta. But otherwise, different leaves, different flora and fauna, different temperature, different weather patterns.
Different
all of
pollen
it is
count.
Just different. Pollen count, that is a big deal. And how's about rain? Lots of rain in Atlanta where there isn't in California.
Stalks of clover.
Reminds me of this.
So you better think it over.
She's
well, it's sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the word.
People
right
used to be able to sing. She doesn't even
ladder.
Have a monitor and she's singing.
But what would it matter?
Ah, the old days. People who are pastors, give up much for your sake. Pastor, I believe, God is well pleased with that. And that sacrifice will actually be rewarded in heaven. God doesn't have to give us anything but absolute damnation. But he also offers us forgiveness of sins, adoption as sons and daughters. We become the righteousness of Christ. We will get to see his face. We are co-heirs of everlasting life with Jesus Christ. He doesn't need to do any of these things, but he does. And in heaven, he gives rewards for our service, our sacrifice, if it's done rightly, correct motive, theologically sound. I think we can glean that from 1 Corinthians 4, that the rewards we will be given will be weighed by that scale of motivation and correct theology, the way that we are rightly doing things. And as a part of that reward, I think it's for suffering, for persecution, and certainly for martyrdom. Shouldn't that encourage you as you're going through your suffering for Christ? Should. You mean, because of this little temporary, momentary affliction, I am going to enjoy an eternal weight of glory? Now think on that, and that is going to help you endure your suffering. Got all of that from this morning's Bible study with Steve Lawson. Just absolutely one verse. Now, why am I so excited about talking about that? Because, well, it fed me. That's what a good Bible study will do. And I got to tell you, there is a dearth of good Bible studies. It's funny, Mrs. Friel said to me yesterday when we were talking about Steve Lawson, she said, you know, you tell him, should he ever find a free moment, which frankly is never, the man works like a dog, have him write more Bible studies. She said, the absolute best Bible study I've ever done is Steve Lawson's Philippians. Magnificent. This stuff will change you. It will give you joy. This morning, I got to think about suffering in a different light, with a different perspective, and what heaven is going to be like. And now I want to tell you about it, and then you're going to want to tell somebody, and we're going to be like, Breck shampoo. Was it Breck or Prell? And you tell somebody, and so on, and so on. Was it Breck or Prell? Are either one of those shampoos still around? All I know is this. They were not like Johnson's baby shampoo. You got Prell in your eyes, and you're going to be walking with a stick for a long time, because I'm telling you, it was blinding.
I think they came with eye badges, didn't they?
I think Brute Fabergé?
Fabergé Organics.
I don't think they exist anymore, do they?
No, so, but they make great eggs.
What was kind of the generic knockoff? A balsa, it was a conditioner. There was... Do you realize that right now on this Christian radio program, we're talking about conditioners for your hair that don't exist anymore? The point in all of this is you will have joy, and you will want to tell people, and so on and so on and so on. That's what a good Bible study will do, and that is what good preaching will do. And that reminds me, if you just got a little teeny tiny taste of what one man did in a Bible study, not a sermon, in a Bible study, with that very short verse, and you go, wow, there was a lot in there, and I just gave you just a morsel of it. That is what expository preaching will do. That is what good theology, rightly proclaimed and applied, can do. It just changes lives. It changes the trajectory of people's eternity, most certainly, and it gives them joy along the way. Steve Lawson teaches at the Master's Seminary. The people who graduate from the Master's Sem learn how to preach like Steve. Master's Academy International are master's graduates in 17 countries who are finding local pastors, bringing them in to train them to preach like that. Do you think that'll make a difference? That an indigenous pastor learns how to rightly divide the word and then brings it back to his congregation and for decades preaches expositorily. Do you think that might make a difference out there? I do, which is why, may I encourage you, please, to consider supporting the Master's Academy International. Small investment, massive impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor to support TMAI. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. State and local lawmakers are using the power of legislation as a response to George Floyd's death. The City Council of Minneapolis, as you've probably heard, is talking about dismantling the police department. And the mayor of New York is talking the same thing, although Governor Andrew Cuomo questions that move, given recent looting in the Big Apple. In Washington, House and Senate Democrats unveiled a sweeping police and criminal justice reform package this morning. Democratic lawmakers taking a knee before introducing what they say is a long overdue response to racial injustices in law enforcement. House Speaker Pelosi says the bill will combat police brutality by requiring body and dashboard cameras, banning chokeholds, no-knock warrants in drug cases, and an end to racial profiling. Republican Senator Tim Scott reintroduced the George Floyd Walter Scott Notification Act that he first proposed in 2015 after the death of Walter Scott, which would require states that receive federal funding for law enforcement to report specific details of people who die from encounters with the police. I am probably over-cynical, but those seem like band-aids on what is really a heart issue. In India, police in Jharkhand refused to register a complaint about an attack that sent Christians to the hospital, while officers in another area falsely accused the victim's relatives in an assault that left a woman unconscious. Police in both instances have been unavailable for comment. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, April 28th, urged the U.S. State Department to add India as a country of particular concern to its list of nations with poor records of protecting religious freedom. And Open Doors' World Watch list has India ranked number 10, India becoming a noticeably harder place for Christians to live since the BJP party came to power in 2014. Here in the U.S., a Nevada sheriff says he won't enforce a state restriction limiting churches and houses of worship to 50 attendees during the COVID-19 outbreak. A Lyon County sheriff, Frank Hunewell, was named as a defendant in a May lawsuit by a congregation, Calvary Chapel, in Dayton, Nevada, challenging the state's order. But in a filing with the court last week, the sheriff said Lyon County law enforcement officers have not and will not be using their limited resources monitoring church attendance and or parishioners' adherence to social distancing recommendations, according to a story in the AP, adding that whether the plaintiff's services included more than the governor's recommended number of parishioners or adhere to the recommended social distancing during the worship services is not a priority of Lyon County law enforcement. The Alliance Defending Freedom filed the suit against Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak and other officials arguing it discriminates against churches and violates the First Amendment's protection of religious freedom, free speech, and assembly. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So I'm wondering, if it's now okay to wear white pants after Labor Day, fashion-wise, is it now okay to wipe your nose on your sleeve because you don't have any Kleenex nearby? Just wondering if that's a fashion faux pas in any way, shape, or form. Because, wow, my nose.
Maybe you'll use someone else's sleeve.
It's like a marathon. It just keeps running and running and running. This is Wretched Radio. Would like to try to make a case for what I believe might be one of the biggest problems in evangelical Christianity today. I have to build this case to try to persuade you we've got to be careful how we do systematic theology. Now, before I build that case, please let me give a preamble to state at wretched.org you can find a resource called Drive-By Theology. It is an outstanding resource. And I share that with you, not just so you'll go purchase it, but so that you know we love systematic theology. It is profoundly helpful. How do you do systematic theology? Well, it's sort of simple, sort of not. You want to study a subject, say, Jesus Christ. What do? Do you just read the Gospel of Matthew? No, you read all the Gospels because those are all the biographies about Jesus Christ coming at it from different angles. But you don't stop with the Gospels. You go back to the Old Testament that you refuse to unhitch to see all of the prophecies. What is this Messiah going to be like? What does Isaiah 53 say? What is this Messiah going to do? Then I go look at Paul talking about how I preach this Messiah who must suffer. And then I read things like, he doesn't know the hour or the time, but he's fully divine. Now what do? Well, I come up with my understanding of the hypostatic nature of Jesus Christ, that he's fully God, fully man. The ontological nature of Jesus Christ, fully God, 100% divine, 100% human. The math works in God's economy. And I get that system, anything else about Jesus Christ, by studying all the verses about Jesus Christ. Here's, I think, the problem that we're having in the church today. We're not letting our columns, our systems, whether it's Christology or pneumatology, Holy Spirit theology. So in your mind, think columns. That all of these things are columns. There's soteriology, salvation theology. There's theology proper. All of these categories, it's good to build them. It's helpful to build them. But if they never talk to one another, I think you're going to run into some problems. This is why I think that we have such low worship in churches. Because the high view of the Bible that people purport to have, it's not talking to the worship service. Their supposed high view of God doesn't make its way down to the worship team to influence and affect worship. Low view of God, low worship. High view of God, high worship. If you've got low worship in your church, it's because somebody has got a low view of God. Now, they might say, no, let me take you to my file cabinet. Here it is. It looks pretty good, right? Right there. But in reality, their high view of God or high view of the Scriptures is not affecting anything else in the church. And I think this is one of the biggest problems that we have. Our systems never communicating to one another. To make that case, I take you to Cripplegate, Reasons to Avoid Churches Who Will Not Practice Church Discipline. He gives, I believe, 9. We'll make our way through as many as is necessary. Oh, 10. 10 common problems among churches that will not practice discipline on you, making them unsafe. Because remember, the Reformers said a church that doesn't practice discipline is not a church. It's commanded, it's mandated. So watch now as we read through this list from Cripplegate why you should avoid a church that doesn't do what we've been commanded to do by Jesus, by Paul, 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, Galatians 6, 1 through 3. We've been commanded to do this. And a church that doesn't do it, here are the reasons you should avoid that church. It's a dangerous approach to God and His Word. In other words, when you don't do church discipline, you're ignoring what the Bible clearly teaches about this subject. Do you see the two relating? Church discipline. There's a column for you. What is church discipline? Study and understand. There's my column. But when I don't remember that if I don't do church discipline, it could affect other ologies, I can just easily cast it aside. If you're in business, think of it this way. You've got different divisions and departments. You've perhaps got creative. You've got product resource production. You've got marketing. You've got accounting. Well, let's just say somebody in marketing goes, I know, this is what we need to be doing. And he just plows straight ahead with it without calling a meeting to say, hey, shipment, how is this going to affect you? Warehouse, how is this going to affect you? Marketing, how does this affect you? How does this affect finances and accounting? How does this affect other departments? That is exactly what our systems should do. They don't live independently of one another. They must inform one another. Second reason to avoid a church that won't discipline. It's an erroneous view of regeneration. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things gone. If you're not listening to Steve Lawson's Bible study on Thursday morning, just go to Facebook, type in Steve Lawson, and you will hear, like I just heard this morning, a magnificent presentation that if you're in Christ, you are led by the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit, producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, etc., then you're not in Christ. Regeneration's a big deal. You're born again. You're dead, and now you're born again. This is no small thing. And now you're being fit to look more like Jesus and do the works that He's prepared for you. This is a big deal. The Holy Spirit enters into you not to play. He's not messing around. He wants you to mortify and kill sin. He wants to sanctify you. That's what He wants to do, because regeneration is a big deal. You don't practice church discipline, and what you're buying into is carnal Christianity. You can be carnal and you can be a Christian. You can't, any more than you can be a wise and foolish virgin together, or a wheat tare or a ware. You can't be that. You're either one or the other. You're either a Christian or you're carnal. If we don't practice church discipline, we say to the world, it's not that big of a deal, regeneration. You're not going to notice much of a difference. Do you see how church discipline has effects on regeneration? Third, a church that won't discipline has a low view of sanctification. You know, if you got a bunch of sins that you're just living in, whatever, sanctification's a big deal. Don't do church discipline, undermine the column of sanctification. Number four, a lack of love to both church and the unconverted. You are not loving your church members by not purifying it. Jesus wants a pure bride, and so does the church. And when we don't do it, it's affecting our church. So what do you know? Church discipline is affecting ecclesiology. Number five, inadequate shepherding and soul care. The pastor has the most awesome responsibility on the planet to shepherd the souls of the sheep that the over-shepherd has put into the under-shepherd's care. That's a big deal. And the shepherd that won't protect the rest of the sheep and find the wayward sheep and bring them back into the fold, I would suggest to you, courtesy of John 10, is a hireling. Do you see? Church discipline suddenly gets into pastoral ministry theology. Number six, a shallow approach to biblical community. Biblical community is a bunch of converted individuals. What the church is, one another's, where we have relationships together, but where church discipline is refused, life in Christ is de-emphasized, which means Christ's likeness and sanctification are de-emphasized. With the result, biblical community will become shallow. We're talking about church discipline here. Look at how it is infecting all of these other ologies. They don't stand alone. Number seven, a low importance of the witness of the local church to the world. So I would suggest to you this would fit neatly into the column of evangelism. We're supposed to be evangelizing and winning the world. If a guy who's a member of a church is sitting on a bar stool getting sauced every night and people know that he's a member of that church, that is not a good testimony, and it's not going to help the gospel march forward in that bar. So now church discipline has affected what? Evangelism. Number eight, a lack of love to those against whom the offender is sinning. So more soul care. You don't take care of church discipline. You're not helping the person who was wounded in that sin. And there's always a wound. A shallow view on relational reconciliation. Church discipline should be of so high and noble in its goals that when the conflict is resolved with biblical reconciliation, the relationship is better than before the offense was committed. That's what biblical reconciliation is about. That's a big deal. Don't do church discipline. Reconciliation, not a big deal. Number 10, a refusal to define itself as a New Testament church. Because if you don't practice church discipline, you're not really a church. Now, I think this ology of church discipline alone has made the case that our systems, as important as they are, better be speaking to one another, or you're going to have all kinds of problems, and this goes beyond just low worship. I believe that one of the issues that we are seeing in the church today is because our high view of God, high view of the Bible, high view of the gospel has not made its way into the other ologies. If you're wondering what exactly I'm talking about, we will tackle that next on Wretched Radio. Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them, to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
It's June, and Christmas practically right around the corner. So now is the perfect time to find your loved ones the perfect gift. So why not find that gift in the Wretched store June 12th through the 14th during our Wretched Summer Sale? Be sure to use the promo code SING, that's S-I-N-G, for 50% off Wretched resources. But wait, there's more. I love saying that in commercials. Every order of $40 or more will get 5 free advanced copies of our newest resource, 13 Reasons You Should Not Commit Suicide. There is so much to find at the Wretched store, so visit wretched.org and just wander about. You'll find our newest resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, or a crowd favorite, Herman Who, and a whole lot more. Visit wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th. Use the promo code SING and receive 50% off Wretched resources. The Wretched Sale at wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day. Literally every day, people are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome back to the program. We have some very exciting things to talk to you about today. This is Wretched Radio.
Todd, what's going on?
What do you mean, Joey?
You've been sucking helium?
Well, no, I've been trying to work on sounding like a woman so that I can share this particular help and advice for women without sounding like a big jerk. So would you please just let me continue with my Tootsie impression here?
Which comes across as condescending.
That's
Todd.
Tootsie.
I'm not recommending the movie because I'm sure it's not good. But
doesn't
I
matter.
Saw it.
That was a lousy imitation of anything.
Well,
I'm just saying.
His impersonation of a woman, I could never get past that. Even as a kid when I saw that movie, Dustin Hoffman, you still sound like a dude. So I'm not buying any of it. I can't see the humor through the trees or something like that. So my impression, frankly, isn't all that bad compared to Dustin Hoffman's Tootsie. Nevertheless, would like to share with you this hopefully helpful article for you ladies. I am going to try to read this as dispassionately as possible. Gentlemen, I would encourage you, for the sake of the well-being of your marriage, to mind your tongue and be very, very careful what you say in response
to
10 ways you're unknowingly disrespecting your husband and how to stop. Well, that's pretty good stuff right there. That's what you call some practical writing at Faith It, or is it Fate Hit? Don't know which one it is. Faithit.com from 10 ways to unknowingly disrespect your husband. How to stop that? Number one, emotional manipulation. I'm just practicing what I was preaching to Tony and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional manipulation. Ladies, I have been told that women can do this, so I think that this might be something for every woman to consider. Have you ever responded curtly with, nope, it's fine, I don't care, when it actually isn't fine and you do care? Guilt trips using the words always and never, aggression or passive aggression, the silent treatment, doling out ultimatums, crying for pity, exaggerating disappointment are ways that you can manipulate. Number two. Mothering your husbands, being a mom with your grown-up husband, which, as I think we just learned, isn't something that we should be doing with our big kids anyway, especially with your husband, so I'm told. Number three, aggression. Using aggression is one that you use in order to keep your husband from winning, writes the Faith Ed article. If he responds with meekness or silence, we make him out to be a coward. If he responds with anger, we make him out to be a bully. If you need space after an argument because aggression tends to be your go-to, then take time away before you come back together. Number four, smothering. Smothering, according to this article, is something that a woman can do to disrespect your husband. By the way, just a reminder, not a fan of the whole love languages concept, because I don't think it's Christian at its foundation. The idea, the premise behind it is you figure out what my particular scratch is. I'll figure out yours. You scratch mine. I scratch yours. I guess it would be an itch. You figure out what my itch is. I'll figure out yours. And then we scratch away. And as long as you keep scratching my back, I'll keep scratching yours. Here's the problem. Jesus came, laid down his life. Jesus came to surrender himself for our well-being. First of all, to do a quid pro quo arrangement is not the way we are to love. We are to love like God. It was not a quid pro quo. It was God laying down his life for us, and that should be our attitude with one another. Second of all, there's a ton of problems with it. Well, what if I'm scratching better than you're scratching? What if my itch gets itchier? I'm going to scratch harder? And if you don't, I'm going to stop scratching your back. And the next thing you know, you're off to war. So the whole concept, just not a fan of the whole idea. But having said that, it is wise, at least, to be aware that men tend to respect, tend to like it. And so you shouldn't do it because it'll make him happy and I'm scratching his respect itch, but because that's what will just make your home happier. And that is the role and actually the commandment for women to respect husbands. Now, we've got our list too, but that is a command to respect a man. That's why this is important. See if this steps on any of your wifely toes. Smothering. When it comes to just wanting to know everything, just controlling, I guess would probably be another way to put that. The smothering. Undermining. She writes, this one is a biggie in a lot of marriages. Undermining your husband, especially as a father, teaches your children that he's not competent and shouldn't be respected. So overruling decisions in front of the kids. That brings discord, conflict into the home. So don't undermine. Don't correct. Don't talk to the kids about it and go, yeah, you know, I wouldn't have done that either, bud. It doesn't help. Number 7, lusting and flirting. A woman who either secretly or openly flirts with other men has the ability to immediately make her spouse feel less than, ashamed, and embarrassed. Not to mention it's a sin. Let's move on to number 8. Avoiding issues. Holding grudges. Keeping a record of your hubby's wrongs rather than talking things out and expressing what's really on your mind. It could lead to a whole lot of bitterness and resentment on both ends if you don't do that. Don't let bitterness fester in your heart. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, which means we don't go dredging it up. I do that with your sins. You do that with my sins. Neither one of us goes fishing to dig them out, pull them up, and throw them back in the boat, let them flop around and make a mess of everything. Yes, that was a fishing analogy brought to an article about women and how they can unknowingly disrespect their husbands and how to stop it. Avoiding issues. Did I mention that one? Number 9, taunting. Do you push his buttons to get attention or to test his response? Do you nag at him when he walks in the door for not helping enough around the house, even though he's been working hard? A taunt is defined as a remark made in order to anger, wound, or provoke someone. That ain't something any of us should be doing. And finally, number 10, envy of other marriages. Oh, if only we were, you know, why couldn't you be like Bill or Stan or Larry or any other old name that dates the host? Doesn't help your marriage. This article was written by Lindsay, M-A-E-S-T-A-S. Ladies, if you have an issue, please take it up with Lindsay and not me, your host, Tootsie. All right, gentlemen, you zipped it pretty well there. Was that self-preservation or just everything that was said covered the whole shebang?
You know, I have no opinion on this matter. I will keep my mouth shut, except I will say I prefer Buffy and Hildegard to Tootsie.
Buffy? What? What?
Bosom Buddies. Tom Hanks, Peter Scolari.
Never saw it once. That had to have been late 70s, early 80s. I think I was a little busy.
Before Tom Hanks was a star.
Edumacated. Never saw it. We weren't allowed to have TVs in our rooms. Not kidding. So I never saw an issue. So I wouldn't know your Buffy and Hildegard reference. Was it Buffy and Hildegard?
Yep.
Joe, Tony, wait a second. What's your name? Tony, anything that you might add or change regarding the 10 ways a woman can disrespect and provoke her husband to anger?
No, they're probably pretty close.
All righty then. Now, you know what would be fair, don't you? If I had a list that said, men, here are the annoying things that you can do to your spouses. Here you go. 1, emotional manipulation. 2, fathering. 3, aggression. 4, smothering. 5, criticizing. 6, undermining. 7, lusting and flirting. 8, avoiding issues. 9, taunting. And 10, envying other marriages. If that sounds a lot like the list that we heard for women, what they're not supposed to be doing with the fellas, you're correct, because these are things that we should not do to one another. If and you heard one of these that particularly made you go, uh-oh, then I would encourage you, whatever your gender is, get busy on it, because it's chipping away at what should be built up, and that is your marriage. Now, if you didn't hear yourself in any of these, I would like to suggest to you, male or female, you've got yourself another problem. And it probably begins with the letter P and ends with the letters ride. That you can't be told. If you don't think that you're committing any of these sins ever, I would like to go as far to suggest you're probably the biggest problem in the entire home. Now, you're the biggest sinner in the home. That's something that's well established. But the biggest problem in the home is the one who thinks I'm doing everything perfectly. And the reason for that is because in that moment, we're esteeming ourselves as better than others. And last time I checked, that's the very opposite of what our attitude should be. Until next time, go serve your king.